Listen to like
okay, it's live.
Hello, welcome to Geeks Unleashed. This is where Geek Bomb takes you on a journey with a geek celebrity, and we fill you in all about them and why they're cool and what makes them awesome. And we get into the deep dark secrets, don't we, Alison Hayslip, who is our guest today?
Hello.
So Alison Hayslip is our guest. You may have seen her all over the G4 channel when that was alive and kicking, and you've also seen her all over NerdHQ. If you are a geek at all, you probably follow her on Twitter. Her Twitter handle is under her face. Hello, gorgeous girl.
Hi.
What's you been up to?
I'm actually like trying to pay attention to you and retweet the link to this as we're talking. I'm like multitasking on various electronic devices right now.
This girl, I'll tell you what, is there nothing she cannot do? I'll cut you a bit of slack then, and we'll throw to the quickfire right. questions. This is where I not only introduce you to everyone else who is in this stream, but I do it in a way that where I ask them three questions, and they have to think of the first thing that comes into their head. Saber, you are first. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
How many times have you seen Frozen?
Nine.
What?
Including sing-along at the movies. We wear a sing-along the whole time. It's so good.
Nine times.
And look, I have these.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
And I have the CD. Like, I have the soundtrack. That's how much I love Frozen. Anyway.
Do you know what I'm going to have to get you? I don't want to rub it in, and I feel really terrible for doing this.
Oh, God, what?
But I've got the Frozen.
Oh, I want.
It's like.
Oh, give.
Everything about
wow.
it. The outfit. The whole shebang.
That's a beautiful book. Can I have it? Can you send it to Australia ASAP?
Yeah, okay.
Thank
okay.
you.
Well, I've only seen the movie once, so it's a bit quick. Mind you, me and Adele Dazeem, we're like best mates, so.
Yeah. Adele Dazeem, woo!
Next question. What's your middle name?
Mine? I don't have one.
Okay, well, tell everyone your real first name then.
Tony.
Tony
and I! No Y, I. I'm not an Italian mobster, thank you.
You're Tony. And last question, what is the last video game you bought? Or computer game, because you're a PC gamer, not a console gamer.
Octodad. No, I got that as a gift. Frick.
Oh, frick. That's cute.
Oh, can I go Frel. Into the Steam library and have a look?
What was the last game you remember playing or buying?
I was gonna say Octodad, but I got that as a gift from my friend Mark, so that wasn't the last game that I bought. I think it's Starbound. I think it was Starbound. That was about a month ago.
Cool. Lee, you're up. You ready?
Yeah.
Favorite Disney princess and why?
I am not a Disney princess person, so I don't think I can answer that question.
How do we hang up? I just
sorry.
Okay. You don't have a favorite at all? There's been so many. There's been Mulan, there's
Belle.
Mulan first?
Yeah, Mulan is the best one.
Then probably Pocahontas. I probably liked her the best.
Okay, let's flip this on its head. Who's your favorite villain?
My favorite villain? Probably Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Nice. No one fights like Gaston. Okay. And what did you do as soon as you left high school?
I went to uni.
Studying?
Commerce, majoring in marketing. It was the most boring 3 years of my life.
Hey, at least you committed to 3 years.
Just wanted that piece of paper, that's all.
And what is your nerdy little secret?
Nerdy little secret? I don't
That's
think
not
I
a
have
quick
one.
Fire question.
That's not a quick fire question.
You've got a higher Xbox gamer score than I do, and it sits badly with me every time I log
on. It's not that nerdy, because compared to like most other people, it's actually not that much. It's only like, what, 24,000 or something like that?
24,000. I maintain it's because I played on PlayStation, and if you combined them all, it would be a lot higher, but they had to keep them separately. But anyway, I'm moving on from that one. Tara, you're up. You ready? Oh, your microphone's gone. Tara is our technical manager. And her mic is out. Cool. You know what? You're probably going to be too witty and too clever for this, so that's probably a good thing.
Same. All right.
Yeah, aren't I always?
Oh, now you're on. Okay, you ready? What's on your T-shirt?
It's Pokemon mixed with Harry Potter. You can't really tell.
Oh, that's what Mary got you. I haven't seen it yet. Oh, damn you. That's pretty cool.
I want to see it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You just want me to put my shirt in your face.
Oh my god, I want it!
Oh, that's really cute. I like that a lot. Oh, speaking of Harry Potter, what's your favourite Harry Potter spell to cast?
Oh my god, I don't cast Harry Potter spells.
Grab that one behind you and cast one.
It'd be like the transformation one. I just can't think of what that is right now. That one. I want to transform things.
Last question. How many pairs of glasses do you own?
7-ish. Wait, are we counting sunglasses? Like 15 if it's not sunglasses as well. Okay, well, like 7 then.
The girl can't accessorize. All right, Allison, it's time for your questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready. But I already thought of answers to all the others, and you're not going to ask me those questions.
No, that's,
yeah.
Not that
easy. What was your favorite one?
What was your favorite question that I'd ask that you would want to answer?
Oh, shit. Probably Disney Princess.
Go on.
I would have said Ariel, just because I think she has the best Disney song ever. Look at this
stuff. What part of your world?
Isn't it neat?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't you think my collection is complete?
Would you go with the Jedis, or would you turn to the dark side?
I'd have to be a Jedi. I'd have too much anxiety to be a bad guy.
And last question, what color are your underpants?
I think they're pink. I'm actually unbuttoning my pants now to look. Oh, yeah, they're like pink and yellow checks.
So girly.
Wow, I know, right? I got in a huge discussion with a bunch of friends a couple weeks ago. It was a bunch of guys and girls. And apparently guys like cotton underwear better than like lace or satin underwear. And we were all baffled by that. So I've been wearing like a lot more cotton underwear lately.
What have I got? I've got that seamless stuff. You know, like the seamless underwear? Yeah, I don't know what that material is. Victoria's Secret's brought out a bunch of them, and they're like, whee. Wearing white ones of those. No one asked, but I thought I'd tell you all. So we're going to open it up to questions from the audience just to get the ball rolling and to encourage everyone to comment. If you are following us on Twitter at Geek Bombshells, make sure you write us a question using the hashtag Geeks Unleashed. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, comment below and we'll ask them just like one Compos has done. Questions for Allison. You ready?
I'm ready.
Both Batman vs. Superman and Captain America 3 are scheduled to be released on May 6th, 2016. How do you feel about both of these movies coming out at the same time?
I think they won't. There's no way both studios are going to let them come out the same weekend. They'll move one by a week or something like that. I'd be really shocked if Marvel and DC let both their films come out on the same weekend.
Is it like a game of chicken and they're both going to keep them up there until one of them moves
out? Yeah, because, I think they know that neither of them will win if... And I mean that both literally and figuratively, if they come out the same weekend. There's no reason to, like, split the vote that way. So I think they'll move one or the other. I don't know who will move, but... you know what's going to happen is one of them's going to come up with some, like, shooting schedule issues, and that'll be the excuse for moving the date.
The next question is, which one would you watch first out of those?
Captain America. Especially since... we've now seen the movie and realized how good the second one was. I would expect the third one would have to live up to that.
That's the thing. And, like, every single time we do this, we watch any Marvel movie, there's always the trailer for the next installment. And with this particular movie, I mean, I remember watching the pre-screening and the credits started rolling and half the cinema got up and it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you're dumb. Yeah, a bunch of noobs.
And this one has two. Let everyone know that this has two things during the credits.
Do you want to explain what they are with that? I don't think there's too many spoilers in there, but just what the two trailers are for.
Wait, why can't I even remember? I only remember the very last one, which I think that's totally a spoiler alert, so I don't think we can't talk about that last one. Because it kind of spoils the movie itself as opposed to what's coming out. Oh my god, how could I forget what the first one was? Oh, I don't want to say anything about it because it was such a cool reveal. But it's got to be what I would imagine it's what's coming in the next Avengers movie.
Yeah, so this is the next Avengers. Joss Whedon had directed this one, so that we know he's going to jump on board for the next Avengers movie. It was kind of like there was an underground, you know, enemy base kind of deal, and there were two people locked up in captivity in a way that were testing their powers. I know that the rumors of Quicksilver have been circulating big time, wondering whether Aaron Johnson was going to be playing that. I was a bit like, well, he's already doing Godzilla. Surely he's not going to be doing Quicksilver as well. Right. He is. He's back on. Did you see him at the premiere? Because I saw him walk past with his 43-year-old director wife very, very quickly.
Oh, no. Yeah, because that's a spoiler alert if he was there.
Yeah.
Everyone interviewed him being like, what are you doing here?
No, he didn't do any press. He just thought he was being very discreet walking past. And I'm like, I see you, buddy. So he's came back on as Quicksilver, and then Emily Olsen also is going to be playing
Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. She looked delightably creepy in it. I think she's really going to excel in this role.
It almost looked like an X-Men movie.
Yeah, I know. This is a thing. No. It's like Marvel. You've already had an X-Men franchise that's gone on 3 movies. You got another 2 in the pipeline, and then you had a Wolverine spin-off. Now let's get some more. Anyway, I mean, can I get enough of it? No.
No, so. I'll watch them all.
Exactly. But if they come out on the same day, we have a problem.
Yeah.
Got a Twitter question from Killer Oscar Zulu. Hey, Allison, were you any good at maths and science at school? Did you play chess?
Oh, that's the only thing I was good at in school was math and science. I mean, I was decent at, like, English and history, but, like, math and science were my forte, shall we say. My mom's a math teacher, so I always said I never was good at learning a second language, but math was actually my second language.
Your mom's a math teacher.
Yeah, she has a doctorate in statistics. My mom's a doctor.
Whoa, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have come in handy in high school.
Yeah, and then as soon as you get out of school, I've never used anything except, like, you know, basic grade school math since then, so.
Must have got pretty excited about National Pi Day.
My mom always calls me. It's like a holiday in my family. My mom always calls.
Oh, it's Pi Day.
Yeah.
I know that in my math class there was the pi number running along the skirting board. Instead of listening to my class, I would try and recall what pi was. And I got up to 3.141592653589826.
Oh, I'm going to believe that that's accurate, because I
have no idea. That gets me laid all the time. Is it getting really warm in here? I want to go through the panel. What was everyone else's best subject at school? Lee, best subject at school?
Art. And modern history.
Okay. Tara, best subject at school?
Mine was legal studies, because that was boring. Yep.
And Saber?
I truanted most of year 11 and 12, and the only subject I did go to was art, so I'm going to say art.
Nicely done. Mine was drama.
Oh,
drama. Yeah, Captain Obvious. We've got Daryl Gummy 805 wondering from you, Allison, can you do the Donkey Kong dance? A, what is the Donkey Kong dance?
I was going to say, I'm not sure.
The Donkey Kong dance.
Is it the dance he does at the, like, this thing?
Like, if it is, I'm enjoying this.
There we go. If that's the Donkey Kong dance, I guess I can do it.
It sounds like it's something that you may have done before. I was hoping that there was a kind of fun story behind that one.
Oh, I have no idea. I would just assume it's the thing he does at the top, you know, when Mario's running up to him. He's like, da, 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 something like that. Or is it arm down? Is it like this? I'm not sure. Maybe I should Google this.
Seems like when it was Donkey and Jumpman.
Can you just do any dance? I will be happy with any dance.
I can do this. I'm sitting on my floor. If I get up, you won't be able to see me. Like the Michael Jackson head thing.
I think my favorite video game dance of all time has to be if you're playing Night Elf in World of Warcraft. You know how everyone has their own kind of, like, signature dance on there? Someone's got, like, the skater one. And she's just like, she just kind of gyrate.
Yes! Yes! Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
That would have to be... Oh, here we go. We got another one. Let's talk a little bit about Alice Minus 20, because that took up all of your last year, and it was the most dedicated thing I've ever seen. You stumbled across your diary from 20 years ago, and you decided to write in that diary when you were that age. I think it was 12, wasn't it?
Yes. I turned 12, and yeah, that year. Yeah.
And you wrote in this diary every single day for that year, and you promised on Twitter, you created a Twitter account called Ali Minus 20, and you wrote what the diary entry was in a Twitter every single day.
Yeah.
A, how did you, like, remember to do that every day? Because that is like a major commitment for 365 days to be able to do it.
I put an alarm in my phone that reminded me at 10 a.m. every day, to tweet out the entry, and I typed up all the entries beforehand and emailed them to myself, so no matter where I was on the planet, because I was all over the world last year, like quite literally, I would have access to all of the entries, because I was like, I didn't want to have to like carry my diary with me everywhere. So at 10 a.m. every day, my phone would go off, and if I was like on a plane or something, then as soon as I landed, the alarm would go off, and I would just tweet it immediately. And I'm so shocked and surprised with myself that I actually did it. I like successfully tweeted it every day and was never late or missed one or anything like that.
A couple of things that happened when you were that age that you were able to share with everyone. Big things that happen when you become a girl to a woman.
I know. I got my period.
Congrats.
Tweeted about that.
And you're like,
I got it a lot.
Gotta tweet it out.
Gosh. It's just so funny thinking back to that time in your life when you're like, oh, right, that was a big deal when that happened. I got my first boyfriend during that year, too.
Oh, wow.
That's really sweet.
We sat next to each other at the lunch table.
All this stuff was happening.
I know.
Do you speak to that person anymore, the first boyfriend? Oh, no.
You know, it's funny. There are a couple people from my high school, or from my middle school, I guess I should say, who found me on Twitter because they found that account and saw that I was, like, tweeting things about us from 20 years ago, and I've, like, reconnected with a couple people from it.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to shout out to Nick Kay. He's probably not watching this at all. He was the first boy I ever asked out when I was 12, and everyone said that he had a massive crush on me, and so I took the initiative. I walked up to him and said, do you want to be my boyfriend? And he said, oh, thank you so much, but I already have a girlfriend. So I kicked him square in the nuts.
Did you?
Pounded his testicles with the top of my shoe and bolted. So I've never forgiven myself, Nick. I'm really, really sorry that I've done that. I'm not good at handling rejection in any shape of my life. All right, glad I got that out of my chest. Guys, make sure you keep answering and asking your questions. I've got a few more here. One from Joshua. Now, I want to make sure that you know who Joshua is, Allison, because he was in one of my Dungeons & Dragons groups. He's experimenting with kind of face paint at the moment, which is really cool because he's doing skulls. He's an awesome dude, very, very tall.
Wow.
He is a very big fan of yours. And when you and I kind of started becoming friends, he was just very overwhelmed about it. And I'm pretty sure he's watching now. So say hi to Josh, please.
Hey, Joshua. Good to virtually meet you.
And he wants to know, did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he put on a dress and played a girl bunny?
Well, I never found Bugs Bunny attractive when he wasn't playing a girl bunny. The only non-human cartoon characters I've ever been attracted to are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
What was with that? Because they're not human. I had the same one. Michelangelo. That was weird.
Michelangelo! Thank you! The best!
Yeah.
Loved him.
But that doesn't actually have a nose. has three hands, fingers, like that. Remember how they were like, hey, man.
Cool. I had the biggest crush on Michelangelo.
I had a crush on Casper.
Also, wait a minute. Kit Cloud Kicker. And he was a bear. I also had a crush on him.
Cloud Kicker?
Yeah, from Tailspin. Maybe Australia didn't have Tailspin.
Wait,
yeah,
oh, we are Tailspin.
Yeah.
Oh, we are Tailspin. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's very strange. Well, I actually had a crush on Goku, but he's a human-ish. Looks like a human anyway. And the best part about Goku is that he had like dark hair and dark eyes, and then he went Super Saiyan and had blonde hair and blue eyes.
Oh, like, you can have every type of man.
Best of both worlds.
I have a crush on Mighty Max, but he's human. I mean,
is he like the little boy though?
He is, but I watched it when I was a little girl. He's like 13, 14 or something like that, and it was like the same age when I was watching that show. And he could travel through time with his magical hat.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't love that?
We've got another one from Nobody's Business on Twitter. It said, what was the last technology that made you say, oh my God, what is that and how can I get it right now?
Ooh. I don't know. I always laugh because when, like, the iPad came out, I was like, why would we need this? Like, I have a laptop. If I need to bring anything with me, I'll bring my laptop. I'm not going to need something like, whatever, Apple, you're just trying to sell us more products.
It's now, just a giant iPhone.
Now without this thing. Like, now I'm like, I don't need my laptop. I'll just bring my iPad. But there's got to be something more recent than that I've been excited about. I don't know. I was really excited for the Boeing Dreamliners to come out, because I visited the Boeing plant like 2 years ago, right when they were making those things. I'm kind of like a plane geek in that way. And then they came out and like they took them all off. They took them all out of the air because like one caught on fire in the luggage compartment during one of its first flights. And I think that maybe they're back, but they're like fascinating planes to me. So I hope we get more of those.
That sounds like a really expensive fuck up.
Yeah.
And planes at the moment, I don't know if you've been reading the news about that missing airline. Like,
oh my God, just... I've been like reading so much into the conspiracy theories. It's been like really, really interesting.
Tell us some.
I've been like following like this thread on Reddit, which sort of keeps track of the timeline. Like the guy's actually going to the trouble of like verifying sources before posting them in a timeline. So you had like conspiracy theories that they flew it to Africa and it was like hijacked, or they've landed at like a disused military base, or it's like all things like that, and like everyone knows a lot more than they're letting on, and people are wanting to use the search methods of like sharks that have been tagged with like trackers, because if there are bodies in the water, they'll want to like eat the bodies, and if there's a massive sharks all in one area, that's where all the people are, and yeah.
Wow.
It's all crazy things like that.
Holy. I just don't... How do you lose a plane? And how do you just not know where it is or what happened or how it happened? Know. Did you hear also that someone rang a phone and the phone was ringing, so it had
signal? Yeah, I heard that. Like, that's messed up. What is going on? Like, this is Bermuda Triangle stuff. That's crazy.
That's what I was saying. I was like, it's aliens or the Bermuda Triangle. Although now they've confirmed that it was a hijacking.
Yeah, but where does it go? Like, can they not?
I think they're kind of leaning towards a hijacking now, I think.
Yeah. Well, weren't two of the passengers on there, they had their passports stolen?
Yeah, but they were. They ended up being asylum seekers. Like, one of them, I think, was going to Germany to meet up with his mom, and don't know about the other guy, so they weren't suspicious at all.
So gnarly. Just back on the tech question, though, I kind of wanted to take it through the panel. What's everyone else been geeking in about tech-wise this year? If there's an app that you've been liking, or if there's, like, a new update or something, does anyone give a shit about tech here?
I want a pair of Google Glasses.
You want Google Glass?
Yeah.
There is a guy... I don't know if you've seen him, Allison. He goes around West Hollywood on a Segway wearing Google Glasses.
No.
And you're just like, oh my, you're like, come on, buddy, what are you doing? And you know that he's taking the piss. He has to be.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, I am.
Just all the people staring at him.
Yeah. Let me just email that one through. That's
I want to be that guy.
I'll set you up on a date. How's that? If I can catch him. He's gonna say
I just want his glasses.
All right, cool. I will throw a stick under the Segway. He'll fall over. I'll grab the glasses.
Excellent.
This is documented now, though. So this is now evidence. So I can't do it anymore.
Shoot.
Didn't think about that one. Anyone else give a shit about tech? Any new apps, anything? Because I heard that there is something happening at the moment with home tech, and there is an app, and in this app, like, it sets it'll change the lights in your house to correlate with how bad the traffic is. So if you wake up and your light's green, it's like kind of the traffic's good to go. So you know whether you can sleep in or not. So you know how long the time travels. Yeah.
Interesting.
That is something I would not geek out over.
And you can, but you can set, like, these apps set and change every single facet of your house. So you can have it when you walk in the front door, sensors go off and it will play your unwind song on the stereo and, like, it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, I have to be honest, I was just watching Big Bang Theory and, like, Raj and Howard had, like, this wand and they were just, like, using it as a TV remote and for the lights and stuff. So I was like, I want that. I want to control everything with a wand. It's like magic.
That totally exists. It's from ThinkGeek.
Well, I don't have one. That's what I was geeking out over. And I only just discovered it this morning.
So, Chris is saying that the Oculus VR, why aren't we losing it over the Oculus?
I tried out the Oculus and I was like, eh.
I just played what was it called? Dread Halls? It's like a horror game with Oculus. I'm not joking, maybe 2.5 minutes. I thought I was going to lose my mind. And I was, like, sitting in a friend's living room. And I was visibly scared and, like, sweating and so nervous. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Oh, like, just freaking out and felt like such a pussy. Because I was like, I know it's a video game, but it's so fucking scary when it's the only thing you're seeing.
I would not do that in a million years.
There's a video if anyone searches Maud Plays Slender on YouTube. It goes for 13 minutes and you basically just see me become the most cowardice piece of shit you've ever seen. I'm just not about it. I don't like to be scared. I like to feel safe. Yeah. It's a little thing. Keep those questions coming, whether it's on Twitter using the hashtag GeeksUnleashed or if you're commenting in YouTube. But Alison, I want to talk more about where it all began for you. I mean, you kind of had a very, very fun story. You were working in a bar and you had you were wearing Nintendo accessories. Was it an earrings?
No, it was a charm necklace. It was like an
charm
old school,
necklace.
You know, the original NES controller charm necklace that I still have. That's how I got my start at G4 and everything, because I had been acting and all that beforehand. But as many actors do in LA, I was also bartending. And a guy who worked in development at G4 sat at my bar and asked me about the necklace and I was like, well, I've played video games since I was, like, 5. And he was like, really? And he, like, chatted with me for a long time once he realized that, like, yes, I legitimately knew what I was talking about. He was like, you need to be on our network. And he's like, I want you to come in for a meeting. So, like, 2 weeks later, I went in and met the head of talent. And then, like, 2 weeks after that, they screen tested me. And then they hired me. And I had no idea what I was doing. I had never hosted a day before in my life. I had never seen a teleprompter. They, like, stuck a mic in my hand and sent me to New York to go cover the DVD release of Live Free or Die Hard. So Justin Long was the first person I ever interviewed.
Oh, wow.
They took me to a shooting range and I shot guns and I like got to fly up in a helicopter over New York and it was crazy. And I was like the entire time trying to do my best Ryan Seacrest impression. I didn't know I was basically acting like a host, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I slowly sort of realized that the fan base sort of liked me for me. And then that's sort of how I learned to just become more me on camera. And that's how I stuck around.
What were some of the best perks of the job? Like, who were some of the big stars that you interviewed? Who were some of the best, like, the good friendships that you scored from that? What did you love about your time at G4?
Oh, well, the friendships, definitely. I mean, well, like, the on-camera people that people probably know, like, Blair Herter and Kevin Pereira and Chris Hardwick have become super tight friends of mine. We're like a family, you know? It's almost like we went through NAMM together and like this is our, you know, we'll always be attached that way. And then even just there's a lot of producers that I worked with who were fantastic because like when I went on all those shoots, over the 4 years, there were probably like 3 producers who I worked with regularly. And I would travel all over the country and all over the planet with these guys. And you just get to know people really well and you know, not only were we traveling together, but it'd be like, we would go swim with sharks together. Or we would go, like, when we were in Australia, we hiked the, what's the bridge? The Sydney Bridge, the giant bridge.
The Harbour Bridge.
That's it. I went with my producer, Tori, who's terrified of heights. And she was, It was just her and I going up this bridge, you know? So you get
what
to know
what you reckon of it?
Well. What?
What do you think of it? What did you think of climbing the Harbour Bridge?
I loved it. See, I don't have a problem with heights at all. I thought it was so, so cool.
I don't know. I wouldn't even want to do that. I just feel like that would be so boring. But I guess for tourists, like, you get to see the whole city on top of a bridge.
It's not boring because it is, like, you're on very, very skinny walkways. Now, you're obviously harnessed.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Horrible. I thought you were, like, fully, like, just walking along a pathway or something.
No. And you're, like, picking up these, like, little skinny steps and everything like that. It's a cool experience.
Oh, God, that sounds awful. Oh, my God, that's scary.
So it took you to Australia, which is pretty cool. It took you to all the conventions. Yeah. I've been seeing you at one of the E3s. You were at the Warner Brothers booth commentating on what was the game? I really loved it. I sat down and I played it.
It was the Lord of the Rings game. It was...
Yeah.
Which I'm a jerk for not remembering the name of this game. It was basically like a tower defense game.
Mm-hmm. Well, Guardians of Middle Earth or something like that.
That's it, Guardians of Middle Earth. Yeah, totally. Actually, but that wasn't even a G4 gig. That was like I was hired outside of G4 to do that. But I mean, obviously, my work on G4 is why I was hired for that. But yeah, the conventions are the greatest. You know, E3 and Comic Con. I got to go to Japan a whole slew of times for American Ninja Warrior, which was amazing. I went to England for the World Free Running Championship. It was an incredible 4 years of my life working on that network, for sure.
When it all kind of stopped, talk us through how that happened, because it was just like a little bit of a...
Well, I mean, the network doesn't exist anymore, sadly. Rest in peace. And I was gone about a year before that happened, and that was just honestly because my contract ran up, and I had been working on The Voice at that point, and G4 was like, look, we still want to work with you, but we can't give you another full-term contract because you have these other jobs now. But we'll just bring you back freelance. And I was like, that sounds great. So literally, like, I ended working at G4. I left to go shoot Battleground. Good segue. We can now talk about that. I went to go shoot Battleground till the end of that year. So I think that was 2011. And when I came back in 2012, the execs at G4, that was right when the whole changeover was happening and none of the execs worked at G4 anymore. So those people who had wanted to bring me back in a freelance capacity were no longer there, and I didn't know the new people, and then they started going through this whole, they were going to turn G4 into the Esquire network, and then that didn't even happen. So it was, even though by the time the network ended, I was a year out of it, it was still like a sad, sad moment to see it go.
It's almost unnecessary. There's nothing like that anymore, and I just feel like there's a gaping hole in the market for it.
I know. There definitely is, but... It's such we're all nerds and geeks, and like, we're such a niche market to market to that's why it's hard to keep an entire network on the air. It's like bigger corporations and companies just don't quite understand yet how to break into marketing to us if it isn't very specifically like video games and stuff like that, you know?
Isn't it hilarious? Because Marvel's figured it out and they are making coin from it!
Yes.
Marvel's understood that everyone, there's, you know, the theme of Geek Bomb as well is that everyone's got an inner geek in there. Someone geeks out about anything, you know?
Yeah.
You just got to find out what it is and just unleash it so people can just, you know, let their geek flag fly.
I was just thinking that, and I was laughing because I was looking at the flag behind you.
My Assassin's Creed flag. Battleground, tell us about that, because if you are in Australia watching this, it's going to be on Foxtel.
Which is so exciting, because you can't watch it in the U.S., you can only watch it on Hulu, and then you can't watch it anywhere outside of the U.S., because you can't watch Hulu outside of the U.S., so the fact that it actually airs on TV in Australia is, like, so surprising to me. It is, without a doubt... And this is even with all the amazing stuff I did at G4. Battleground is my favorite project I've ever worked on. It was such a fun experience. I loved, it's I guess for if someone doesn't know what Battleground is, I just sounded so cocky when I said that. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who don't know what Battleground is. But it's like a mockumentary show like The Office, except it's about political campaigns. So it's called Battleground because it takes place in battleground states around the country, or was supposed to had we gone past one season. And so the first season, it takes place in Madison, Wisconsin, and we actually shot in Madison, Wisconsin, which was awesome. It was like a nice small cast, and everyone was really awesome, and we definitely became a really tight family out there. I'm just really proud of that show and how it came out, and all signs had pointed to us having a second season, and then that rug kind of got pulled out from under us rather quickly. And like even last week, I had lunch with Jay Hayden, who plays the lead in Attack, and he and I still talk about like trying to bring the show back. It's been 2 years, and we're still like, we'll save it. Let's make a Battleground movie. Let's just get the show made again. So if you get a chance to watch it out there, please do. It's 13 episodes. I think it's really amusing. It's the thing that, like, when people say, what should I watch that you've done? I'm always like, Battleground. Just check out Battleground.
With the whole Veronica Mars using the Kickstarter campaign to fund a movie, and I think they wanted $2.7 million, and they reached $5 million by not even 3 days. Yeah. Do you think that maybe if you played your cards right and got the team on board, you'd be able to Kickstarter and do the very similar thing with Battleground?
I mean, that's something that Jay and I have discussed as purely a fantasy in our heads. We'd love to do that. I don't know if we were around long enough. I mean, I guess Firefly had one season, but Firefly like kept growing fans after it ended. I feel like Battleground, like, people have either heard of Battleground or they're never going to hear of Battleground, you know? Right. But I would love to get something kickstarted. I'd be really interested to see how the Veronica Mars movie just premiered last week, right?
It did, yes.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see how that's going to actually open. Because if it does well. But, you know, Veronica Mars also had, like, they got the fan support, but then they got the studio behind it because of the fan support. I don't know if Battleground could go that same way.
I know I spoke to Rob Thomas, who was obviously the writer and creator of Veronica Mars, and he said that straight away, like, you know, he'd written the series so that it wasn't ever going to end, and then when they weren't renewed, he wrote the movie script straight away. But they were very apprehensive to do Kickstarter because if you don't make the money, it's a public thing. You know, it's a risk that you take. So if you put it out there and you don't get the funding, then it's like, you know, it's a thing that everyone's scared of. Everyone's scared of failing, so they don't take the risk to start off with. But yeah, they were blown away by the response for that. And they've written them. You've seen the movie, Tara.
Mm-hmm.
And they've kind of left still a
it's
lot
definitely
more.
Definitely left open. And I think it'll do well enough to make more as well, which is the thing. I went to the premiere in Sydney, and it was packed for starters. It sold out in 2 hours. But every single person there was laughing at every joke, and it was like cheering at the end. It was like the best vibe I've ever been to. So I don't think it'll ever stop. So people obviously are out there that care enough about these projects.
I know that Killer Oscar Zulu is a big fan because he said something about the circle game on Battleground with 3 exclamation marks. Tell us about that.
If you all just looked at my hand, I have to punch you now.
Oh, that's that.
Don't bring that
like
back.
30.
That was like high school that happened.
That was not fair.
I know. It's so funny because that's like, it's like a great moment in the show. My character plays the circle game with, I have sort of like a sidekick, I guess, in the show, who's like this big lovable doofus. And so I'm teaching him the circle game. The whole episode just becomes me like punching him throughout the episode. And that's the thing that like people who have watched Battleground, like that's the thing that stuck with them. They're always like, the circle game. And it's funny because that scene was my audition scene for the show. So the fact that you know, the scene that got me the job is actually the scene that like resonates with people is pretty cool. And actually, my character, I've said this in a couple interviews before, but like my character was written for a Middle Eastern man. My character was originally named Ali. And because like the stars aligned and whatever happened, the director on a whim was like, you know what, let's see women for this role for like literally a half day. They were auditioning for like a month for this show. and he just took a half day to see women read this role, and I went in and read it, and I kind of made this joke of being like, well, it's already mine because my name's Allie, and the character's Allie. You know, I was like, you just have to change the pronunciation of it. And when I tested for the show, it was me against two guys, and I ended up getting it, and I was like, what? It was a really cool serendipitous moment.
It's really cool. Good luck.
Now, being a geek in this industry, I mean, a lot of us have had varying degrees of, you know, the whole geek elitism, being tested, you know, you're not a geek, look at you, you can't look like that and know all this stuff. What are some of the stories that you've had being at conventions where people kind of want to test you or networks want to know if you're full of it or not?
Right. Well, you know, thankfully the people I've run into, it's not like a test anymore, but it's more like I've had people who are like, okay, I've heard you game, I want to game with you. And not to like to see if I can or not, but just because they just kind of want to see how I play and that sort of thing. Like I was at New York Comic Con in October, and one of the actual convention had their own booth there that they were live streaming stuff on Twitch TV. And I was playing, what's that fighting game? Killer Instinct. It was like and it was on the Xbox One because it was before it was released. And I got up there and the guy was like, okay, do you want me to teach you how to play? And I was like, I got this. Like, it was not a fighting game. Like, come on. It's like, they can basically be button mashers, you know? So like, I played the game and then I beat the guy who was like giving the tutorial. Not the first time. It took me 3 tries, and then I finally beat him. And he was like, "Okay, got it. You know what you're doing." I'm like, "Yeah, thank you very much." You know?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I know. It just seems like maybe it's more in Australia. I get it a lot more in Australia than I do here. Since moving to LA,
it definitely exists out here. I just think that I thankfully have been doing it long enough, and I've just kind of, I guess, maybe proven myself enough that I just don't come across it anymore or as much as I used to. But I definitely know girls out here who still struggle with it, which that's the thing I hate. I'm not really big on the whole like I'm a girl gamer. It's like I'm just a gamer who happens to be a girl, you know. And I feel like if you harp too much on the girl fact, that's sort of what keeps it as segregated as it is, you know.
Yeah. Mhm. Mhm. I get it. So instead of hashtag girl gamers, it's hashtag gamer.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, gender is irrelevant. Sato, Craig Sutton, who's watching on YouTube, wants to know, do you think if children's movies from the 80s were released today, would they still be considered children's movies? So like The Neverending Story, Dark Crystal.
I was just having this conversation with someone like 2 days ago.
There you go.
Our kids' movies were fucked up, man. I rewatched The Dark Crystal over Christmas, and I was like, how did I ever turn out somewhat normal after watching something like this? They were dark.
I tried to watch that movie like 5 years ago and I couldn't get through it. But The Labyrinth was amazing.
And there's no kids' movies that come out like that anymore. You know?
It's so safe.
Oh, shoot. I'm going to butcher this story. But someone was saying they were a writer and wrote a script about, basically wrote a new Goonies script. Wow. I mean, it wasn't Goonies, but the whole idea of like kids like running off and like banding together and accomplishing something. But he talked about the fact that in Goonies, like the kids run away from home and then they almost quite literally get murdered. Like they were being threatened to be killed and you never see that anymore. And my friend turned the script into wherever and they said, we can't make this movie because it's about kids running away from home. And it's like, that's what all of our movies were about when we grew up.
Yeah. And I think everything's been hyper-censored at the moment.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, there are jobs where people's, you know, that what they do is they censor things. So they watch everything on television, all the ads, all the shows, and they're like, see the themes in there. And it's like, oh, I don't know, there are adult themes here. So it's, you know, it's got an M classification or a PG-13 classification. And you're right, the whole G thing at the moment doesn't exist.
I just want to say, if you're someone who has that job, the world hates you. Everybody hates you. Get a good job. Get a proper job.
What? Who's hated more? Censors or parking inspectors?
Oh, parking inspectors.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go. No matter how bad you think someone has it, there's always someone who's got it worse. Hardcore Hazard wants you to know, Allison, that your black hair looks really cool.
Thanks.
You do change your hair a lot. When I met you, you had blonde hair.
Oh, mind yeah.
You, I had pink hair, so I still got that pink hair.
And I had red.
Yeah, what? Yeah, tell us the story about the hair.
Well, I used to change my hair color all the time, and then when I moved to LA and got headshots taken as a blonde, I was like, well, I can't change my hair color because then I have to spend the money to get new headshots taken. Mm-hmm. And then when I got the job at G4, the network owns my image when you sign a contract like that, so I wasn't allowed to do anything to change my hair color then either. So it was a bit like after I stopped working at G4 and I shot Battleground, and I came back and wasn't committed to a job for the first time in like 4.5 years. I kind of like was like, freedom! And like just kind of went crazy with my hair for a bit. And I went to the red. I went red because that's when Alex Albrecht and I started shooting 4 Points. And I kind of didn't want us to look like an Aryan twin couple hosting the show together because he has blonde hair. And I was like, well, I was thinking about dyeing my hair. So I went red. And then I had to go back to blonde because I shot a horror movie last year called Freshwater. And they hired me. And then they were like, but we want you to have your blonde hair. So I had to go through this, like, crazy 3-week process of like stripping all the red out of my hair and then going back to blonde. And after that, my hair was just so fried that I was like, maybe I need to have a hair color that isn't so damaging right now. So I went to this, it's actually like a really chocolatey brown, but it's relatively close to my actual hair color. So I don't have to dye it as much and I don't have to like wash it as much and I can take better care of it. And it's like finally right now I'm like, it's healthy again. Yeah.
What's the best one? What do you have more fun being wearing?
Ooh, you know, I have fun any hair color, but definitely the hair color gives me like different personalities for sure. Like I feel like I think when I was blonde, I felt a bit more like perky and young, and then the red just made me like super cool, and the brown makes me feel like sexy and in control.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know everyone on this panel has had ridiculous colored hairs. Lee, hair. It's a plural, okay. Technically.
Just one.
Lee, my favorite hair color that you have had, can you just tell everyone what it was and what you call it?
No, it's like, I think last week it was what color that you want to have, and I said like I wanted like a really swampy green. It's like I dyed my hair green to go on holidays, but it was more like a Hulk green, like it was a very bright green, like it didn't really have the grayness that I wanted in it, but yeah.
Swampy green,
that's what I want.
So like...
Swampy green.
So like where Yoda lives.
Yeah.
So are we talking more like Dagobah green or like Ring and that chick coming out of the well green?
Oh, gross.
Maybe more like the chick coming out of the well kind of green.
That's fucked up, I love it. That's so random. Tara, you were going to go purple?
Yeah, I need to do that again. But now I've got this stupid dark hair. I have to grow it out.
It's, yeah, like it's just gone red.
It's so long.
You've gone ginger. It's not even red, is it, Saber?
No, it's like
ginger.
Just dark brown.
I wanted to be a ginger. I wanted to look like a natural redhead. I said to my hairdresser, I'm thinking about changing my hair to red. She goes, it will suit you, do it. And I'm like, well, I want to be a ginger, but I want to look like a natural ginger. 5 years of blonde, and I out of nowhere did this and told no one, so.
Marcus Townsend definitely noticed. He's like, what? Saber's got a redhead now?
Yeah.
But I say, so you're like, I had it in my head. It was a really funny thing that I was going to say. Like, lost it. Wow, Maud, you're on fire. I know. Oh, I don't even know anymore. Oh, yeah, there it is. Saber Copperfield. Yeah, that was worth it. Oh, sorry, guys. I'm a cold and flu tablets. I'm not well. That's for sure. We've also got Jonathan Batten asking you, Allison, what is coming up? What kind of upcoming projects can we expect to see you in?
Well, I guess only if you're in the United States. You can still watch me on The Morning After on Hulu. That horror movie, Freshwater, I shot last year was supposed to come out at the end of last year, but I think it's going to come out this year. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that'll be happening.
What's it like shooting a horror movie?
It's
And what's Freshwater about?
I lovingly called it gator rape because it was basically a Jaws. It's like a Jaws homage, but instead of it being with sharks, it's with gators. That's why it's called freshwater, because it's the freshwater shark. But I hate horror movies. I will not go watch them. Like we said before, I don't like being scared. But shooting one is super fun, because you get to, like, you basically get to reenact all those moments where you're, like, in your head, you're like, don't open the door! Don't open the door! And then you're like, I'm opening the door anyway!
Oh, my God. Yeah. Did you have to do the scream? Did you have to scream?
I was not the screamer. I mean, I did scream at one point, but it the film's about there's like a group of like, you know, 20 somethings, and we go off to this house on, it's like the only house on this little island for like a fun party weekend, and then we start dying one by one. So Amy Paffrath, who plays one of the other girls, she was the screamer, and she was a fantastic screamer.
I love that there's like the catered roles. You got the screamer, the token black guy. Who made fun of this? Someone made fun of it. Cabin in the Woods made fun of it, didn't they?
Cabin in the Woods was fantastic.
Yeah. I still haven't even seen that. But yeah, the role that everyone had. What was your role then?
I was one of the more like keeping everyone cool and calm and like put together and like trying to be the logical one, but also playing it very safe. Like, you know, everyone else would be like braver, and I'm the one who's like, we should all just stay in the room and like not die. How about that?
Yeah.
How about we just try to not die?
Sounds really logical to me. Really logical. That's you weren't even acting, were you?
That's probably what would actually be in real life if that happened.
Yeah. Oh, that's like when we just posted up on our Geek Bomb Facebook page. If you haven't followed facebook.com/geekbomb, do it, because you'll see the picture. We're talking about zombie apocalypse and what role you would play in a zompoc.
What role? Well, I would definitely be... I would probably be like... And this is kind of what I am in real life. People have called me, like, I'm like the glue. I'm the person who, like, keeps people together or connects people, you know? So I think that I would be the one who'd be, like, who kept the group solid, you know? Who'd, like, calm people's egos and, like, their fears and kept them together. I don't think I'd be the one who'd be, like, charging out in front, or I'm not going to be the person who's, like, a medic, because God knows I have no idea what I'm doing when it comes to that sort of stuff. But... But I would definitely have a baseball bat and a shotgun and make sure people stayed together.
Okay. Go through the panel. Everyone, what role would you have in a zompoc, and what is your number one thing that you would do? Saber, weapon of choice, what's your role? What would you do?
Okay, my role, I think I would be both combat and support. I think I would try to look after everyone. But the problem is I can't just sit back and do nothing. Like, I've got to go out there and kill someone. Zombies. Anyway, I would have an AK-47 and a katana.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah.
I told you guys, we've thought about this a lot. Make sure you comment on the YouTube page or hit us up. Hashtag Geeks Unleashed on Facebook. What role would you have? What weapons would you have? And what would be your plan? Lee, Stardust, yours. What do you think?
I think I remember answering this question quite a while ago. I think I'd be the supplies manager, so just That's making true. Sure... everyone has everything that they need and people don't overuse supplies. In terms of weapons, I'd probably like something like napalm, just set everything on fire.
No. No.
Yes.
Kill everything.
Kill it with fire.
Tara,
I have a really like intricate survival plan. It involves boats and getting away, but in reality, what would probably happen is that I would just end up shooting myself because I can't deal with the stress. I would just cop out. I would just be out of that so quickly.
No, you would be a valuable member of the team.
I can't handle it. It's just, it's not worth it at that point.
No, I know what you're... No, that is not what would happen. Okay, no.
This is my plan for every stressful situation. Probably just, like, will myself to die, and that'll be what happens.
Can I just ask what everyone would do in a clown apocalypse? Because I have thought about this too. And I thought I would just shoot myself. Like, I would not. I can't.
A clown apocalypse.
This came up in discussion with my boyfriend, and I think I would shoot myself in the head before I deal with any sort of clown apocalypse.
A clown, that is what nightmares are made of, isn't it? A clown apocalypse. You know what I would do? I would blend. I would be the master of disguise with the clown apocalypse. Mm. I'd just get my lipstick and just be like, and then be like, did you hear the one about the and then blend in and then make a run for it. Because I've got really big feet as well. I mean, I like to think that I'm in proportion.
Oh, God! Maud, oh, my God, Maud, you're making me scared of you. Like, stop making yourself a flower.
With a little butt. Meep, oh, flower. But, I mean, the zombie thing, I mean, I'd like to think I could be the master of disguise with that as well and just, you know, really dumb it down. Be like,
All right.
Cover yourself.
What would your weapon be?
Just drooled at myself.
What would your weapon be, though?
Okay. I mean, I'm a big fan of Shaun of the Dead. I actually still got scared in that movie, believe it or not. I still found Shaun of the Dead scary. Have a think about that. But I think the shovel was a really good one because it does have the sharp corners.
Yeah.
But it's pretty heavy, though.
It is a bit heavy. All right. Fuck. All right.
What about a crowbar?
That's
in their face.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's
and just you can such a open with it. It's a good tool.
It's just such a blunt object, so it's, you just see so many skulls cave in, and I'm not sure I've got the stomach to handle that. Mm-hmm. But then, I mean, a blowtorch would be good to set them all on fire, but
fuel. Same with the chainsaw. Chainsaw would be good, but fuel.
Fuel. It's like the getaway vehicle. A tank would be great, but you'd only be able to drive three miles. But
can I just ask, dirt bike or motorcycle? Like, what would you choose, right?
The dirt bike, because it's less fuel, but you're so exposed. I've been thinking about this. I lose sleep over this stuff.
Yeah, I thought deeply about this yesterday.
I just want to be able to have superpowers. Why can't we have a suit like, you know, a Marvel X-Men apocalypse where everyone's got their own superpower?
That would be chaos.
Or those freaking wings that Falcon has in Captain America.
Give it a score out of 10. Let's just rate some movies really quickly. We've only got 3 minutes. And guys, if you haven't asked your questions, you're probably going to miss out. But really, let's quickly just rate Need for Speed and Captain America Winter Soldier.
Okay, Captain America Winter Soldier is a 9. It's so good. It is so good. I was so pleasantly surprised by Falcon, to be honest with you. I thought, like, that was such a cool character. And Need for Speed, I'm going to go 6.5, 7. It's one of those movies where, like, you can just tell the script wasn't quite there, but the actors in it are so good. And
yeah,
it's so fun. And it's not, it's not a Fast and Furious movie.
Why it's not a Fast and Furious? Because I think Fast and Furious goes so over the top. It's like there's a tank getting cut in half and there's an explosion, but he's going to jump over the bridge and land on this in the bonnet. It's just like...
Right. As if Need for Speed wasn't over the top. Come on, the bit where the car is like picked up and by the helicopter and it goes over the canyon and come on. As if that's not over the top.
I mean, it is... Let me tell you, like, Imogen Poots and Aaron Paul are so fantastic in that scene, you don't care. You love it.
I really did like Imogen. Lee, how long ago did you see this movie now? You saw it quite a few weeks ago when it first came out.
I saw it a month ago, yeah.
I saw it 4 hours ago.
It's fresh in your mind. Yeah. I saw it about a week or two ago. So, that being said, Lee, you went in, and I did the same thing. I went in just dreading. I was like, my God.
Yeah, no expectations.
How the hell are they going to make a whole movie out of a video game where there are no characters? There's not even a dude in the car. You are the car.
Yeah.
By the way, my dog just joined for the very end of the interview.
But what did you think of it, Lee? What did you think of Need for Speed?
I really like the action scenes, and because I kind of like cars a bit, so I really like the cars. And I like Kid Cudi as well, and like his bits were really funny. I thought he was really cool. In terms of storyline, though, I thought it was a bit but I think the amount of action that was going on kind of made up for all that. But at the end of the day, I'd probably give it about a 6 out of 10.
It's, the script was very safe, and you could tell. Mm. It was like, you know, get a video game with no characters into like an endearing story that people want to invest in. They used all the tricks of the books I found, you know, the guy, the really likable guy that dies by the bad guy, you know, that kind of copy-paste safe script syndrome. But you're right. I think Imogen Poots was so fun. She was great. And they've actually done a movie together, her and Aaron Paul, and this is the second movie that they've done. And you can tell that they've just carried over that chemistry into this movie, and it made it so good. And the camaraderie between the guys as well. Like, you wanted to back them. You wanted to go for them.
Yeah, you love the team.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, I'm suitably impressed with Need for Speed.
Mm-hmm. Go see it.
There we go. Hey, that's been our hour. We're just going to quickly do one last round call for questions while we're here. Oh, nobody's business is thank you for asking and answering my question. What is your ocular nervosa? Oh, that's interesting. Let's do one last plug as well. Guys, if you see all of our little tags there, that's our individual Twitter handles. But Alison, where can people catch more of you? We've said Hulu for your shows and your movie that's going to come out this year, but if people want to have a chat with you or follow you?
Follow me on Twitter for sure, and you can check out my website, alisonhayslip.com, and that's it.
And everyone else? Saber, starting with you?
What am I, at Saber Jimmy?
Well done. Nailed it. Stardust?
Well, on Twitter I'm at Stardust, for Stardust, and on Instagram I'm at Polonium Blonde.
Tara!
You can find me everywhere at Tazpants. Xbox and stuff. Play some Titanfall with me if you've got it.
What are you playing at the moment?
Titanfall.
Oh, of course. And I'm at Maud Garrett. That's 2 R's, 2 T's. Geekbomb.net is our new site. We are launching T-shirts very soon. Alison, I will give you a T-shirt and or a hoodie if you want one. Facebook.com/geekbomb if you haven't given that a like. Guys, we have breached 5,000 on both of them, feeling pretty unstoppable. Yay. And to finish things off, let's do a quick game of power. P stands for playing, W stands for watching, and R stands for reading. I will kick it off so you know what's happening. Playing Elder Scrolls Online. In fact, I just lost 5 hours of my day because I'm playing that one. I am watching Archer. I started that last night. And I'm still reading Bitter Greens by Kate Forsyth. Every month we do book club, and she's a great fantasy author from Sydney. Kate Forsyth, she's done The Witches of Ilion, and she's also done Rihanna's Ride series. But this is a new one, and we're going to get her on the stream at the end of the month. Saber, then Lee, then Alison, then Tara, take it away.
I was playing Left 4 Dead the other day, and Octodad, I did live stream it. You can check out our Twitch, I was live streaming it on there. I will live stream more games. Reading, I just finished the first Game of Thrones book, because I'm on a challenge to read all of them before the next season starts, but I'm failing miserably. Yeah. And then I'm watching Big Bang Theory all over again, started from the start, because I haven't watched it in a few years, and I'm also watching all of the Jim and Pam episodes on The Office.
That's a lot. Okay, so I'm playing Elder Scrolls Online as well, which is a lot of fun. Watching Hannibal Season 2, and I'm not reading anything because I don't read.
Alison, you're up.
I'm playing Threes on my iPad, which is like a fun, gosh, you want to talk about me being a math nerd, this is like just a pure math game.
Is that the one where you have to guess the math answers really quickly?
No, it's basically addition and like a matching game kind of. It's just three spelled out, and it's adorable and fun, and I love like the whole interface. I'm reading The Wise Man's Fear, which is the second book in The Name of the Wind, that whole the King Killer Chronicles.
We had Patrick Rothfuss on our book club.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we spoke to him.
Oh, I love his books.
Love his books.
And I am watching, well, I just finished watching True Detective, which I was obsessed with, but I've now just picked up Cosmos, because that's now on for the next couple of weeks.
Yes, lovely. Yes. And Tara's last but not least.
Cool, I'm playing Titanfall. I'm about to start playing it properly, because I've only played a couple of games. I just finished watching all of Veronica Mars, and now I'm re-watching Chuck. And I'm reading Bitter Greens as well by Kate Forsyth.
Woohoo! All of them. Let me so. I'm sorry, I'm eating Geek Bomb candy. That's right. Geek Bomb. So we have our own candy.
That's impressive.
GB in the middle of it, and it tastes like dreams. And dreams taste like green apple, sour green apple. But anyway. Make sure you let us know what you are playing, watching, reading. We call it power. Comment below or hit us up on Twitter, which is at Geek Bombshells. Thank you, hashtag Geeks Unleashed. This has been Geek Bomb, and the bomb's been dropped.
Good work.